prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The true revolution.
Happy Easter! Yeah! I'm Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church, and this is... Where faith and reason meet.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was like, this is Easter. You just said that. What do you mean this is? This is where faith and reason meet. And today is Easter, mm-hmm. the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So how are we going to make this logical and scientific? We're going to talk about the proof that Jesus really is the Messiah.
There's proof.
There is proof. There's proof. We can talk about how we know he rose from the dead. I don't mm-hmm. know if we'll get that today. We're going to talk about historical proof. We're going to talk about some of the prophecies that he fulfilled. We're going to talk about all sorts of different things today.
Right. And like I've said on the show before, it's like, you know, you can look at one piece of evidence and kind of write it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That might be coincidence. But you start looking at the body of evidence and it builds on top of each other and it becomes pretty much undeniable.
What we call that is the cumulative case.
Yes.
So we're not just saying, hey, believe in God's existence because of this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying, hey, you should believe in Jesus because of this one thing. What we're saying is there's a whole gamut of evidences here.
Right.
Now, if you're listening, you should go to truthrevolution.tv and look up these things more in depth, because all the things we're going to talk about today, we've gone more in depth in on other shows. We're going to kind of skim over the top because we want to get through a bunch of different things today. We're going to answer a Bible contradiction, hopefully get to a listener question mm-hmm. maybe even. But today, was Jesus the Messiah and how do we know? Here's the crazy thing. Daniel chapter 9. You ever read Daniel chapter 9?
Yes.
This is a book in the Bible. And it gives the exact year the Messiah would die. Did you know this?
Yeah, I knew that. We've been doing this show for a while.
Of course you knew that. What am I talking about? No, I'm just kidding. All right. So, like, we know Daniel chapter 9. If you go there, you just read it. And we're not even going to quote the whole thing today. But I got to point out at least this Daniel chapter 9 mm-hmm. thing. I just want to tell you really briefly. If you go there, it'll say... There were seven sevens and 62 sevens since the rebuilding of the temple. So this is a prophecy. It says that at this point, like, the temple is destroyed. It says the temple is going to be rebuilt.
Right.
And when the temple is rebuilt, there's going to be seven sevens and 62 sevens.
Right. And the whole thing is, too, when the prophecy came down that the temple would be rebuilt, that was almost like inconceivable because... The Israelites were scattered.
Yeah.
They were taken into Babylon, actually, in captivity.
Come on, guys. Yeah. But the temple's going to be rebuilt. And when this is happening, there's going to be X number of years, 7, 7, 6, 6, and 62 sevens.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the exact number of years. Now, they used lunar years. We used solar years.
Right.
But when you account for the difference, it gave the exact year that the Messiah was going to die. It tells you right there in Daniel chapter 9, X number of years from the time the temple is built until the Messiah pays the atonement.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the exact year that Jesus died. So, I mean, people are rejecting Jesus at his own day and age,
right.
But it was completely ridiculous because they should have known the exact year.
Right. Hey, do you have that sound effect for Mind Blown Man?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Boom. I'm telling you.
I mean, the Bible predicted hundreds of years in advance the exact year the Messiah would come. And Jesus came and died that exact year.
Right. Now, what would you have to say to those people that say, oh, those prophecies were written after Jesus?
Well, there are some skeptics who say that it was written after Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is the only reason they say that is because the prophecy was fulfilled so perfectly.
Right.
They don't look and go, well, the external evidence, the source evidence all suggests it was later. No, the source evidence, the manuscript evidence, the historical evidence all says this probably was written hundreds of years before Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of it. The only reason people say it came after Jesus is because the prophecy was fulfilled so perfectly.
Right,
so other evidence couldn't have mattered.
Right.
This can't happen.
Right. When you look at it at first blush, it's like, oh, this is impossible.
Right.
Right.
Right. But the fact is, when you look at historical evidence, the manuscript evidence, which you got to go to other shows to listen to us talk about
mm-hmm.
that, you'll see this really was written hundreds of years before Jesus.
Right.
They really did predict the year the Messiah was going to come, and Jesus really did come that exact year and die,
right,
just as predicted. After so the temple's going to be rebuilt, boom, done. Exact number of years, 480 some years after that, boom, Jesus died, just like predicted. Now, I also want to go in and show that the ancestry of Jesus was predicted of the right. Messiah. And at first you're going to think, this isn't that big of a deal. But then we're going to explain it and you're going to have another one of these moments.
Right. We call this the Jesus address.
The Jesus address. Okay. The Messiah was going to come from?
From
Abraham.
Abraham, right.
Abraham. Okay, we read this. And if you want to check up on us, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. He says right there, the Messiah will come from Abraham. Now, the Messiah was also going to come from the tribe of
Judah.
And you read that in Genesis 49. He was also going to come from the house of
David.
Okay, that's 2 Samuel 7, meaning David was going to be his ancestor. And he's going to be born in
Bethlehem,
which you find in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. These are all prophecies that were made about the Messiah. All of these things were recognized as prophecies that were going to be about the Messiah. Right. They were able to interpret it. They knew. When Jesus was born, some people even went to King Herod and said, hey, we think the Messiah has been born. And King Herod said, okay, you Jewish scholars, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? And they said, oh, he's supposed to be born in the town of Bethlehem. So King Herod's just dispatches people there to kill babies in Bethlehem. So this is something they knew. They knew these were prophecies. And what happens is Jesus is from Abraham. Mm-hmm. He's from the tribe of Judah. Mm-hmm. He's from the house of David. Uh-huh. And he was born in Bethlehem. Uh-huh. Matches these prophecies exactly. Now, what some of you are thinking, okay, well, I mean, there's probably a lot of people that fit that.
Right.
So let's just do a test and let's just do a test and see if a lot of people fit this or not.
Okay.
David, I want you to go back, or listeners too, I want you to go back all the way to one of your furthest away relatives you can imagine.
That I can imagine?
Yeah, because we're going to go through Abraham, tribe of Judah, house of David, and then town of Bethlehem.
Let's talk about Charles Carroll of Carrollton. He signed the Declaration of Independence.
You have a relative that signed the Declaration?
I do.
I do too. Samuel Huntington.
Nice.
Dude, fist bump. Yeah. Right on. Boom. All right, now, mine was better. But okay, whatever. So let's think back a little bit further than that even.
Okay. I can't think back that far.
You can't?
No, I can't.
Your brain stops there?
Yeah.
Your genealogy stops there? Okay. So we'll start there.
Okay.
So for Jesus, his ancestors went back way more than a couple hundred years.
Yeah, I got you.
But so you're going to have a better chance here.
Okay, let's just go ahead and go back. We'll call it John Carroll of Carrollton's great, 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 great grandfather.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
All right. So I want you to eliminate everyone in the world who doesn't match, who is not a descendant of that dude. Okay. Eliminate everyone who's not a descendant of that dude.
And that would still leave a pretty good chunk.
Okay, that would. Just like we're eliminating everyone who wasn't a descendant of Abraham.
Right.
Okay. Now, from the tribe of Judah, Israel is divided into 12 tribes.
Right.
Let's divide our nation into 12 different regions.
Okay. That could be easily done.
Right. You can divide it in like the NCAA divisions or something, or whatever you want. So pick some sort of division that divides our country.
Okay.
And choose only the one that you're in.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it via the NFL. I'm from the AFC West.
Okay. So the AFC West. Mm-hmm. So all the descendants of
John Carroll of Carrollton's great, 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 great grandfather.
Okay. Who also are from AFC West. Okay. From the house of David. Now I want you to pick one of your most prominent ruling members of your family, because David was a king and he was a famous king. So someone who matched both of those things, but was also like really famous and ruled somewhere, in some way. And you may not have a someone exactly like that, but pick the most prominent person in your family.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'd say Charles Carroll of Carrollton, I guess.
Okay, let's go.
Probably the most famous one.
And say like,
this is Elvis, right?
Let's just say you're like your great, great, great grandfather or something. Okay. So now what town were you born in?
Denver.
Denver. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's eliminate everybody who wasn't from Carroll, who was not from the AFC West, who was not from your great, great, great grandfather, who was not born in what town?
Denver.
Denver.
Right.
So we've eliminated everybody. Now, how many people match descendants of that guy from AFC West, born in Denver, from your great-great-great-grandfather?
Right, that would actually narrow it down a lot. There would probably be about five people.
Five people? Mm-hmm. You and, like, what, your siblings or something?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it'd be like me and my brother, and that's it.
Right.
And listeners, you do the same thing, right? How many people match that description? Almost nobody. This is our point. You cannot just arbitrarily fulfill these things. This is something that Jesus fulfilled, and it's very specific. We call it the Jesus address for a reason.
Right.
It only matched Jesus. It couldn't even match Jesus' brothers because they weren't even born in Bethlehem, most likely. Right? They were traveling when Jesus was born. So this is an address, and guess what? A guy shows up the exact year the Bible predicted. Mm-hmm. He meets the address exactly. He mm-hmm. meets the genealogy exactly. Right. And this guy, Jesus, starts doing miracles, which are recorded by historians.
Right.
Hello. Hello.
It's a coincidence, right?
John chapter 11 says this.
It says, then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing? They asked. Here is the man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him.
This is what, this is hilarious. Okay, the Jewish rulers at the time,
we need to stop this.
They were like, oh my gosh,
right.
He's doing amazing miracles, right? He's fulfilled his prophecy. This is the right time of year for this guy to come, or the right year for this guy to come about. Like, they had to have known this stuff. Mm-hmm. And their response is not, let's worship him. Their response is, we better stop him because everyone's going to believe in him because right. it fits. You know, yeah. he's doing what he's supposed to be doing to be the Messiah. We better stop this.
Right.
Come on, people. That
sounds kind of crazy.
Think about it. Mm-hmm. Just, listener, just think about this for a minute. Jesus matched everything the Messiah was supposed to do. Hello?
Right. And at the time, they were looking for the conquering Messiah.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I honestly have to ask if maybe some of the people in the Sanhedrin weren't afraid of what that might entail, you know?
Yeah.
Because that was going to be a violent overthrow.
Well,
supposedly
politicians mm-hmm. don't like to be replaced.
Right.
That's a universal truth. Amen.
Amen.
Right. They just don't like to be replaced. So if you are a Messiah and you are going to, they believe you're going to replace them as the politicians. Do you right. think these politicians are going to be excited about you?
No.
No, because they're politicians.
Right. I want my power.
Right. They don't want the Messiah. They want the power. Just okay. like you said. I mean, you're perfectly on track there. And mm-hmm. so not only did Jesus fulfill these things, he fulfilled over 100 prophecies about the Messiah. I mean, my goodness. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, Isaiah, or Dan chapter 9, Zechariah chapter 12. And you compare these, Matthew chapter 4, John 4. Jesus predicted that he was going to die himself and that right. he was going to rise again. So Jesus even made predictions about how he was going to die, and it was fulfilled. Matthew 17. Jesus says the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he'll be raised to life. Exactly what happened. He predicted it.
Right.
So not only were the predictions hundreds of years in advance, giving the exact address, giving the exact year, saying exactly what he's going to do. I mean, we have things like he's going to ride a donkey, he's going to enter a certain gate, he's going to be pierced in the side. He can't control who's going to pierce right. him in the side, yeah. right? He can't control that stuff. It says predicted that they were going to gamble for his clothes, and they did. You can't mm-hmm. predict that. Right. He can't make that happen.
Yeah.
He's not like hanging on the cross going, hey, dudes, I'm trying to like fulfill the Messiah right. thing. If you could gamble for my clothes, that yeah, would really help
I
out.
I just got this one last one.
Yeah. If you don't do it, it's screwed, man. Right. You yeah. got to do it.
Yeah, that's just crazy to think about.
Yeah. So that's the prophecy thing. We want to talk a little bit more about how we know this is real. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk about sources that confirm that this stuff actually right. happened. But first, Dave, let's answer a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, today's Bible contradiction brought to you by the fine folks over there at evilbible.com. I don't know. Are they saying that the Bible is evil, or are they saying, hey, we have a Bible that's evil?
Like it needs to have...
Like they have a Bible that's evil. No, I think they're saying the Bible's evil.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. When Jesus rose from the dead, when did the women find the tomb? Was it after sunrise, or was it before? Mark 16 says very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. However, John 20, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. What gives, man? Okay, is this a genuine contradiction or what?
So which one is it? You know, did all this huge group of women find the tomb, or was right. it just Mary Magdalene?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple of things that I'd point out, and we're going to do this fast because obviously we're up against a break right now. But hey, you know what? Let's just answer this on the other side of the break.
We'll do that. A little cliffhanger.
You gotta get out to Revolution Church. This is Easter.
Yeah.
Come out to Revolution Church. We meet at 9 and 11 a.m. So you can totally make the 11 a.m. Totally. Service if you're listening to this.
Right.
You can also watch online. Go to revo.church. That's R-E-V-O.church. That's online. www.revo.church. You can watch online. You can find our address.
Right.
Just get out here. It's Easter. Come on down, man. We don't care what you look like. We don't care what you're dressed like.
Hey, look at us.
Look at us.
Right.
If you're listening on the radio, you can't see us, but we are ugly slobs.
Right.
So, look, I'm the pastor. I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt, all right? That's just how we roll here. So, don't worry about dressing up. It's Easter. We just want to celebrate God, Jesus, rising from the dead.
Right.
So, come on out. Get a drink at a coffee bar and listen to a sermon. So, all right. TruthRevolution.tv is our website. Get there. We'll be right back with the answer to this Bible contradiction. Revolution Church is on Facebook or www.revo.church.
You believe in God, but haven't been to church in a while.
Maybe never.
Yep.
Maybe you have a child and you thought, I might want to check out church for her or for him.
Or maybe you've thought about it for yourself. If you could only find a place that would teach about Jesus without judging you.
If there was a place that got excited about forgiveness and love, maybe you'd check it out.
Easter is this Sunday, and Revolution Church has services at 9 and 11 a.m.
No dressing up. I'm the pastor, and I'm wearing jeans.
I got tats.
Revolution Church is on Facebook or revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parents Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Sometimes people are confused. Why would God punish God for something humans did?
Right. If Jesus was God, why would God the Father punish him? Then how does that magically forgive us?
The reality is we are forgiven because of God's vast mercy. Even before the cross, God's mercy was working.
So why did God punish Jesus? Romans 3 tells us plainly he did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus.
God is just, meaning that he is fair and impartial. He should always punish wrong.
But he also wants to justify us, meaning he wants to step in and defend us.
So the way he demonstrated both his justice and his desire to help us was by sending Jesus to die and take our punishment.
The cross was a demonstration of who God really is.
That doesn't mean that there wasn't really a sacrifice. Jesus paid the ultimate price, and God forgives us through that.
Yet that punishment was to demonstrate God's justice and forgiveness.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than on the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. online at revo.church.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
online at revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Revolution!
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Yeah.
How do we know?
What?
I don't know. Well, first of all, we're discussing how to know that Jesus is actually the Messiah. Woo! For one.
Yes.
But right now we're in the middle of this Bible contradiction.
Yes.
You know, when did
the women find the tomb?
Because
we posit that the Bible doesn't actually have contradictions, not really.
Right.
So how do we solve this? Was it a group of women? After sunrise or before? Was it one woman? Or, you know, Mark says it was after sunrise and there was a group of women, and John says it was still dark and it was Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. So which one is it? Well, let's use our cracked acronym.
Okay.
And if we use the second C, it stands for credibility. Credibility means, look, just think about this for a moment. Just think about it. Is there any way that this could possibly fit? Because your natural inclination sometimes is to go, oh, this is different. But is there any way it could fit? Let me say, give a little story.
Mm-hmm.
There was a group of people who showed up to Revolution Church at 9 o'clock,
right,
for church. But there was also a guy named Gary who showed up at 11 o'clock for church.
Oh.
Well, which one was it?
Well, Gary must have been late.
The answer is there's a 9 o'clock service, right, and there's an 11 o'clock service. Yeah. There was a group of people at 9, and there was one, right, guy who came at 11.
So what you're saying is both stories could be true.
Both stories could be true. And it makes sense. It says, look, there was just after sunrise, there was a group that came.
Mm-hmm.
But while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went. Those, right, don't actually contradict each other.
Right.
They could have both happened. Yeah,
they could actually flow together very nicely.
Exactly. There's not. I don't know why people say this is a contradiction. I mean, it's interesting. John only mentions Mary Magdalene. Now, if John had said there's a group of women who did not come after sunrise, they came while it was dark, and Mark said there's a group of women who came while it was after the sunrise and not while it was dark, they, that would be a contradiction.
Right.
But that's not what they said. So that's the answer for Bible Contradiction today.
Bible Contradiction.
All right. Back to Jesus. Now, we've shown a few of the prophecies, and by the way, there are a lot more prophecies.
Oh, yeah.
And we detail them. You can go to truthrevolution.tv and just type in prophecy, and you'll hear a bunch of them. We go over them on other shows. But do we have other sources that talk about Jesus besides the Bible? Do we have any secular confirmation?
I think you're in luck
for these biblical claims. We do. We do. You're right, Dave. We do. But first, we should point out that the Bible, and this is not a religious statement, okay? You got to hang with me here. The Bible needs no other sources to back up its claims.
Okay.
It can stand on its own merit, not because of its sacred nature or religion, but because of the facts surrounding the Bible itself. First, anyone looking for historical confirmation of the acts or life of Jesus or most any other biblical character must understand that the Bible is the primary source.
Right.
For example, the four New Testament Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, okay, from the Bible, they contain more information about the life of Christ than any other text available, and that should not be surprising since one of the Bible's main concerns is the salvation of man in Jesus.
Right.
The primary concern of Roman historians at the time was not the Jewish Messiah. It was the Roman Caesars.
Right. If you're looking for confirmation of, say, the Constitution of the United States, you're not going to look at, say, a history book that may talk about it. You're going to go to the Constitution.
Right. Or even more to the point, if we want to know about how the Constitution was written in the United States, we're not going to look at the history of Saudi Arabia.
Right. Good point.
Well, you know, they didn't mention the U.S. Constitution in the Saudi Arabia history from 200 years ago.
Right. Must not exist.
Must not exist.
Right.
That makes no sense.
Right.
Like, are there historical documents that talk about Jesus and record these things?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And we put them in a book called the Bible because they were the historical pieces that recorded what happened.
Right.
The Bible records the history of Israel more closely than any other ancient text. And it's not surprising. We wouldn't expect to find the bulk of historical records about the USA and New Zealand or whatever, what have you. So if those who reject the biblical Jesus on the basis that the Bible alone confirms certain aspects, that's off base. All right, the text included in the Bible written for the purpose of following Jesus, instructing Christians, or recording church history. We have to point out, the Bible doesn't record everything peachy. There's some messed up stuff in there on purpose because they just tell you what happened.
They tell you like it is.
Exactly. Right. That's why there's crazy stuff in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are like, well, there's crazy stuff in the Bible. You can't trust it. Well, actually, no, you can trust it because it recorded history exactly like it happened.
Right.
Warts and all. Anyway, I would recommend Gary Habermas's book, he's been a guest on our show.
Yes.
His book, The Historical Jesus. He goes into a lot more detail. We've talked about other secular sources, but just to give you a hint here, there are secular sources. Some ancient historians, one of the guy's names is Tacitus. Mm-hmm. Now, Tacitus lived between AD 50 and 120. He made a number of words about Christ. He reported about Christians, their involvement in the Roman fires. He obviously didn't believe Jesus had risen from the dead because he calls it a superstition. His writing contains references to Christians who suffered the extreme penalty, he says, under Pontius Pilate. He says the superstition, which started in Judea, had made its way to Rome and was most likely the resurrection of Jesus. So he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus.
Right. So it was something that wasn't made up later on. These people actually believe that Jesus was resurrected.
Exactly. This did not come about like the year 500 or 600. Right. I mean, this guy was writing like the year 100, and he's saying, hey, you know, there's already Christians who believe Jesus was God and that he rose from the dead. He established this. There's a guy named Suetonius. And by the way, you've got to check out truthrevolution.tv because there's a lot more information on this.
Right.
We're just breezing by it today. But there's a guy named Suetonius, right? Gaius Suetonius Tranquillus was a Roman historian who mentioned Christ and Christians. His writings are short, but he gives some interesting stuff. Okay, he was the chief secretary of Emperor Hadrian just after AD 100, and he had access to the imperial records. So one section, he's talking about Emperor Claudius. And he says, because the Jews at Rome caused continuous disturbances at the instigation of Christ, he expelled them from the city.
Right.
Now, what's interesting is in Acts chapter 18, it talks about the Jews and the Christians who were kicked out of the city.
Right.
And you might historically go, well, that doesn't make any, that's just stupid. But here you have confirmation. Yeah, the Bible historically recorded this accurately.
Right. So they match.
They match.
That's crazy stuff.
There is no historical record that contradicts what the Bible records.
Right.
Did you hear me on that one? There is no historical document that contradicts what the Bible records surrounding the life of Jesus.
You can't handle the truth.
Right.
This is serious. There's a guy named Thallus. He was a historian around the AD 52. It's like this is like right after. There when mm-hmm. Jesus died. There's not a ton of his stuff left, but he talks about. He actually talks about the darkness covering the land during Jesus' crucifixion, right. Like the Bible describes.
Yeah, so that was something that was documented somewhere else other than the Bible.
Exactly. The Bible says when Jesus was being crucified, the land became dark.
Right.
And this historian, who was not a Christian, this historian records it.
Right.
And,
he corroborated the evidence.
Exactly. He corroborated the evidence. So, and then there's a Pliny the Younger, who's a government official, Roman author, and an administrator in Asia Minor. Mm-hmm. We see that Christ was worshipped as a deity by the early believers. Okay, so right away, they were worshiping Christ as God because of the resurrection, which he calls an excessive superstition, right? This isn't just superstition, like a man rising from the dead. This is excessive superstition that he rose from the dead. He's a God. He also makes mention of communion, mm-hmm. which is established by Jesus. So you see, these Roman historians are recording, well, we don't believe this stuff, but there are people who believe this and it right at the time, and it corroborates what the Bible said.
Right.
And the prophecy, you put that together. Okay, so we know it's historically accurate because the Romans are recording the same thing the Bible is recording. Mm-hmm. So it's historically accurate. We also know that the prophecies were fulfilled. I mean, gosh, people, this is exactly the type of thing that we're talking about when we say there is good reason to believe in Jesus.
Right. That's the cumulative case.
The cumulative case. We're working on that. In fact, if we had more time, we would go over an acronym that a guy named Hank Hanegraaff put together called FEAT, F-E-A-T.
Mm-hmm.
And you can prove that Jesus rose from the dead.
Right.
Using F, fatal torment. Okay. We can prove that he actually died.
Right. E for empty tomb.
Which when all the governments, the Jewish government, the Roman government, and the early followers of Jesus all agreed that tomb was empty three days later. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have a body.
Right.
And then A was the appearances.
Right.
There were hundreds of people who claimed to have seen the risen Jesus after he had had the empty tomb.
These are all testimony, witnesses that saw, you know.
Eyewitness testimony.
You know, how many witnesses do you think it would take to put up on the stand to actually prove to a court that Jesus actually rose from the dead?
There we go. And then the T stands for transformation, which is huge. Mm-hmm. These aren't just people who are making a claim. These are people who were scared.
Right.
They didn't want to be persecuted. They were actually saying, I don't follow Jesus.
What would it take for you to put your life on the line for a belief?
Yeah, and they were scared, though. Mm-hmm. They were freaked out, locked in a room until Jesus rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. They said, we saw him. And then there's this massive transformation where they were all willing to die for the claim they saw Jesus alive. People were saying, you saw Jesus alive. That is not true.
Right.
We're going to kill you. And they said, you're going to have to kill me.
You know, let's talk about Peter. After Jesus was arrested, Peter denied Jesus three times.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he went from that and from being very scared for his life to actually being crucified. And tradition says he was crucified upside down by the Romans. Well, so.
And Jesus' brother, James. Mm-hmm. Now, you got a brother.
I do.
What would it take to convince you that your brother was God?
A lot.
It would take quite a bit.
That is correct.
So, but you know, James... was not a follower of Jesus.
Right.
But then Jesus rose from the dead. James says, I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
Now I believe that my brother Jesus is God.
Right. So it's not like, you know, the switcheroo thing like some people are saying, oh, it's a different guy.
No.
You know, James would have known his brother by sight, you know.
And he believed after he saw Jesus risen.
And he was executed for his belief.
Yeah. So you got the prophecies, you got the historical confirmation, you got the transformation of these people, you have he really died, the tomb really was empty, the governments agree. Put all this together, there's only one rational conclusion. Jesus really did rise from the dead.
Right.
All right. Now come on out to Revolution Church. You can make it to the 11 o'clock service.
Right.
We'd love to have you no matter what you're wearing right now.
Unless you're listening to the podcast.
Yeah. Well, you can still come out, just not on Easter.
There you go.
But come on out. Jesus is the real deal. You got to put your trust in him.
Amen.
He's the only way that we get to heaven. Not by good deeds, but by saying, God, have mercy on me. I believe Jesus was the real deal. He really rose from the dead. So, all right. TruthRevolution.tv. And Revolution Church, you go to revo.church. So if you'd like to come out, just revo.church. You can get all the information you want about our church. Come on out. Revolution Church is on Facebook or www.revo.church.
You believe in God, but haven't been to church in a while.
Maybe never.
Yep.
Maybe you have a child and you thought, I might want to check out church for her or for him.
Or maybe you thought about it for yourself. If you could only find a place that would teach about Jesus without judging you.
If there was a place that got excited about forgiveness and love, maybe you'd check it out.
Easter is this Sunday, and Revolution Church has services at 9 and 11 a.m.
No dressing up. I'm the pastor, and I'm wearing jeans.
I got tats.
Revolution Church is on Facebook or revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.